This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Today's probably not the best time to try to work on my golf game and make me feel good about the next few months of my golf game. It's not a good place to start with that wind. But either way, at least it was enjoyable there for a quick second.
Yeah.
Then it got cold once again, and I'm just over it. I'm over all the coldness. I'm over all the wind.
Yesterday was really nice, though.
It was nice. It's still a little chillier, though. But it wasn't too bad.
For February, it was gorgeous. It's like 58 degrees yesterday.
I'm spoiled. I want 65 plus.
You're living in the wrong state, dude.
No, I know. Hey, well, the thing is it'll come around and it'll be all exciting, but then I'll certainly complain about how hot it is and then how I can't wait till fall gets here and all that. You know, it's just, I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to be happy with what's going on. So, but either way, we've had a lot of things go on over the weekend for a lot of different reasons, of course, sports and non-sports related. We're going to have some fun and talk about that throughout the rest of the show. But we have to start with the Arkansas Razorback basketball team losing another game to Texas A&M. Texas A&M, a bad SEC team. Not a team that's playing for the NCAA tournament. Not a team that's even playing for the NIT. They had a losing record. They entered in Saturday at 11-14. 11-14. They come into Bud Walton Arena. And Arkansas loses again, 87-80. And now Arkansas, it's just, you look at this basketball team, I don't really know what to make of it. They're 14-13 now. They're 5-9 in the SEC. Technically, they're tied with Texas A&M in the SEC standings, but since Texas A&M will more than likely have the tiebreaker over Arkansas.
Well, I mean, you beat them down there.
Yeah.
So you split with them for the regular season.
Right, right. And so you're looking at them being about 10th or 11th still, but now Arkansas has lost five straight
SEC the
games.
Deal.
Five straight.
It's not about, I mean, it's really not even about your record at this point. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's really about why has it went like it's went in the last 2 weeks. Why all of a sudden have you went from at least being competitive in games to being a team that's lost five in a row to Saturday night? I didn't say quit in this team, but that was not, you don't think you're, you think this team's giving the best effort? They certainly not play their best basketball. I guess that's a better way of putting it. And it's frustrating right now because it seems like the pressure of, you know, like Friday's show was all about Mike Anderson and his future. How many calls we take Friday about that? It seems like a lot of these outside voices and this pressure is showing up in the product on the floor right now. And maybe that's just a bad view, a bad take, but they're playing like the pressure's getting to them of a tough season.
Yeah, this is not the typical Mike Anderson team that we've seen in years past, or even if the team wasn't any good.
Because normally Mike's teams that start out slow play very well in February. This is not Mike Anderson basketball. They're playing their worst basketball in conference play in February, not normal.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that with Mike Anderson, you could say whatever you want, and I've always felt this way. In fact, I even said it during this past football season because I remember I was like, you know, say what you want about Mike Anderson, but his teams always played hard till the very end and always played hard for him. You know, he didn't have the most talent. There wasn't always the most well-coached at times. We get all that, but they always gave the effort that needed to be given to try to win games. And I'm not saying that this team has given up just yet. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that this is not something that you have normally seen with Mike Anderson teams, where down the stretch, late in the season, they are going on five games. Let's be honest, they're going to be six-game losing streak. They're losing to Kentucky this week, so it's not going to get any better. And then they welcome in another NCAA tournament caliber team on Saturday in Ole Miss, which they may lose that one. So there's no telling when this losing streak is going to end for the Razorbacks. They're probably going to have a losing record. By this time next week, they're going to officially have a losing record, which is unheard of. And I think that that's where all of the questions are coming into play, because people who wanted Mike Anderson gone, it's adding fuel to their fire. But this is not typical of Mike Anderson and his teams. even when they were bad, they never had it to where they were losing like this and playing this poorly down the stretch. And that's what's so mind-blowing. Now, I understand he tried to mix some things up a little bit, mixed up the starting rotation, which I think was pretty shocking to me when I looked down and I saw, of course, Daniel Gafford and Jalen Harris starting and Isaiah Joe. But then you had Gabe Osaboyan and Desi Seals starting for Arkansas while Mason Jones and Adriel Bailey sat on the bench. So, okay, so he's trying to mix it up a little bit, see how it goes. I think it went okay. I mean, Gabe Osaboyan actually gave in eight points. He had four personal fouls. And so, I mean, it wasn't anything pretty by that. And I didn't think it made the difference. But even when they're trying something new, it's still not getting the job done. And the problem was it wasn't offense because Arkansas scored 80 points in this game. That's well above their average.
We've talked about this before. You need Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe, and Daniel Gafford to combine for around 60 points. And they're about 8 or 10 short of that, which is about 8 or 10 short of what you needed for the night.
Yeah.
You know?
And but the thing is that you got some elevated play from like a Desi Seals and that you got at Gabe Osaboyan. Those are above their point averages. But 80 points, he should be enough to win a game, especially if you're Arkansas at home. 80 points should be enough.
No, I agree. I mean, there's no excuse for losing this game at home.
No.
Now, you split with A&M, beat them down there to start conference play, early in conference play. You had to win this. This felt like a must-win game for Mike Anderson. Forget the team and the postseason and all that doesn't matter, you know, at this point. Mike needed to win this for Mike. And it's a little concerning that the players didn't seem to go full tilt boogie when I don't know if the coach's job's on the line. We don't know what conversations have or have not been had between him and university administration. I just know the fans are upset right now. There is a growing percentage of the fan base that is losing confidence in Mike Anderson. And a win on Saturday night would have gone a long ways to slow some of that down.
Yep.
And I'm basing a lot of that just on what we, the reaction we get from you out there. You know, you were with us Friday. You heard, we didn't, how many positive calls about Mike Anderson did we take? We took, what do you guys think? 35 calls, which is a lot in a 3-hour radio show. We took a lot of phone calls.
You think we took 30 to 35 on Friday?
We took a lot of calls in 3 hours, yeah.
No, we did not take that many. 30 to 35?
We took more calls Friday, and they were all about Mike Anderson.
Maybe 20. We didn't take 30, 35.
Well, thank you for that. However many calls we took, it was a lot of calls. We had a lot more, you know, whatever it was. Big number. Felt like more than that. Well, how many of those were, the point is, how many of those were calling in to say, I want to keep Mike. I want Mike to be around another year. I think he deserves a ninth season. How many of those, out of those, however many it was, whether it's 20 or 30, it didn't matter. How many of those were in favor of Mike Anderson?
Maybe one or two. Maybe.
I don't even remember that.
Well, see, I need to go back.
But
We had some people calling in that, again, I don't know if it was Friday or Thursday or Wednesday. I don't remember. I just remember during that period, because we did have a lot of calls for like 3 straight days.
Yeah.
During one of those, we had a couple of people that were more positive and more optimistic about Mike Anderson and felt like he was going to at least deserve one more year. Now, that's probably 1, maybe 2% of the people point.
There were a lot of people that called that thought he'd maybe, or some that called that thought he was going to get another year, but, you know, the point is there weren't a lot. There's a lot of people in favor of change at this point.
Yeah,
this game was big for Mike. Didn't get it done.
No. And here's the thing: the next 4 games, you play 2 surefire NCAA tournament teams. One of those teams being one of the best teams in the country in Kentucky. You play 1 team in Alabama that's on the bubble, might make it in depending on what they do the few next games, and then you play the worst team in the SEC on the road in Vanderbilt. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to beat Kentucky. You probably won't beat Ole Miss. Alabama, we'll see. But if you lose to Vanderbilt on the road, if you give Vanderbilt their first SEC victory of the season, they're 0-14. If that happened, I will be out of answers. It'll be one of those things where it's just going to be like, all right, we're going to have to play the waiting game here and see exactly what decision is made, because some decision is going to have to be made. Because that's the element that you're looking at. Because if you lose to Kentucky and then Ole Miss and then Vanderbilt, if you lose the next 3, and with the capper being on Vanderbilt, it's a nightmare scenario. It's an absolute nightmare scenario, and it's very likely, at least losing the next two, because those are, Kentucky's one of the best teams, and Ole Miss, you're going to lose at home.
I mean, and you know, you get washed up in the emotions of a loss like this, and you don't think you're ever going to win again. That's just the way sports work. But what makes you believe you can go on the road and beat Vanderbilt, coming off of Kentucky, and you mentioned Ole Miss in the schedule next Saturday? You know, as it appears now, when you can't beat A&M at home, I mean, nothing about that makes me believe, yeah, they're going to go to Nashville and win.
Nope. Because the way that the season has gone, at least at this point in time, there's no guarantees. There's no feel good about any game. Especially when the next two, you're probably going to get beat pretty handedly. And so that's the most disappointing thing about it.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
Well, unfortunately for the Razorback baseball team, they will not go undefeated this season. Sadly. Yep. They lost one out of three. They won two out of three against USC. Won the first two, and then they were, right there at the very end, Arkansas actually came back, had a lead there in the 10th inning, one-run lead, two outs. And Arkansas is unable to come up as USC. There was some miscommunication there, and I know a lot of people probably didn't watch the game because of the fine broadcasting that was done there from the Pac-12 and USC. But it was a miscommunication and a fly ball that ended up essentially costing Arkansas, and a lot of bad memories came up from a miscommunication on a pop-up. We don't have to go down that
Sound
road.
Familiar.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, Arkansas ended up losing that one, so it's not the end of the world or anything like that. But I'm sure it was a nice little experience for them to go out there and to go out and go on a road team, and it's a quality opponent like in USC, and come back. They're sitting at 5-1 right now. So good for them. Congratulations. And actually, Connor Nolan got the start there as well. And he was not as sharp as he was in the first week. But, hey, that's kind of what happens when you play a more quality opponent. But still gets the victory there. And I know a lot of people are still excited about Arkansas baseball. In fact, I think more people are excited to get Arkansas baseball really up and going because of the way that the football and now the basketball season has gone. I mean, here's my fear, Tom. Here's my fear. If the baseball team doesn't bring it this year, which I don't see any reason why they won't.
Define that, not bring it.
I'm talking about getting to the normal expectation of making it to like a super regional.
Okay.
So like getting it to where you're not only in the postseason, but you make some noise in the postseason. It doesn't have to be a College World Series, but just getting to that next level. That's what I'm referring to.
All right.
If they don't do that, you are looking at arguably the worst academic year for Razorback athletics probably since ever. I mean, when was the last time that you could say that if they don't? Almost like the Razorback fans are holding on to that last hope of baseball. And again, there's no reason to believe that they won't do that baseball won't be great. But man, if they don't, if something happened, geez, it would just be a brutal academic year for Razorback fans.
I just think about most of my life. I mean, the late 70s were great because football was really good and you had teams going to Final Fours all at the same time. One of the golden eras of Razorback sports is the late 70s, and I was born in late 75. The 80s, then you look at that, and when Eddie Sutton left Arkansas and Nolan came in, and Nolan had a few down years early, football was, Ken Hatfield had it very competitive, a couple 10-win years, and you had football to cling on to. And then when Ken Hatfield exited, about that time, Nolan got the program going in the right direction. In 1990, they make the Final Four going to Denver out to the Final Four with Todd Daley, Mayberry, Oliver Miller.
Football and then football
went in the can for a good while, but basketball went on extensive runs and a national title in 94, as we all know. And then as Nolan left and it curtailed, Houston Nutt came in and brought football back up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I just think about through my lifetime, generally those two sports have went opposite directions.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're looking at one season, we're looking at it under kind of a microscope.
Right.
But you need one of these sports to break out of this.
Yes.
Because football has been in the can, in the tank, however you want to describe it. Crapper's the nicest way I can come up with right now since 2012.
Yeah. And even the like if you use the later example, when John Pelfrey was kind of crapping on the program, you still had Bobby Petrino in football, right, too. So during that same time.
You just
keep
going forward. There haven't been long stretches, 2, 3, 4, 5 year stretches where both of them were down. Now, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, Facebook, different social medias throughout the weekend trying to compare the, what's going on with the basketball program to where Bielema had the football program.
No,
this is not the same thing. And we need to spend some time on it this morning. This is not the same thing as where the football program is at now. I mean, you're still above 500. You're still competitive in games. This is not the same thing as what we were experiencing in football.
No.
I'm not saying it's not time to consider change. I'm just saying there is no comparison between the state of the two programs then and now.
You were not needing a crazy comeback victory against a 1-8 Coastal Carolina team like you were in football. You know, where you can't even compare the two. The only thing that I feel like fans might compare the Mike Anderson and where everything's at right now. And I don't even know if you can do the Houston Nutt thing. I mean, it's its own little entity. It's its own little example in how fans feel. And that's the thing. And so I hope nobody ever gets it twisted and gets it mixed up with football, because I'm telling you right now, say what you want about Mike Anderson. Say what you want about the basketball program. If you want change, that's fine. But there is no doubt that Mike Anderson elevated the game and elevated the program. And you're not an embarrassment like you were in football. Like in football, you were a laughing stock. Not only last year, but in the previous year under Bielema in his final year, people were laughing and making fun of you across. You're Arkansas. No one's doing that. People still respect you as a program. People still are at that level. It's just once you go through 8 years and once you go through the fact that you feel like you've peaked, because I think that's also an odd thing of why people want change with Mike Anderson, is that they feel like they had their opportunity with that Bobby Portis team and Michael Qualls, or even when they had Daryl Macon and Dusty Hannes and Jalen Barr from Moses Kings. Like, they felt like that was the peak, and they missed their opportunity. And so now there's not really anything to come around and make people feel better about it or to be able to have any light at the end of the tunnel. So you can't compare the two. But there's no doubt that this past year for football and basketball might be the worst year, academically at least, the academic year might be the worst year that both programs have suffered through in the same year. Let's go to the phone lines. Robbie is in Jacksonville. What's going on, Robbie?
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good, man. So I was unable to watch the game on Saturday. I was tracking it. I was out to see my day job. So bottom line is that you can't lose to A&M and not expect. The folks that were on the fence are just burrowing to the other side. I mean, come to this side, guys. Come to this side, because that's ridiculous. Now we're tied for a 10th in the conference. We're sliding in the wrong direction, and you can't have that. And everybody talks about February being Mike's month. I think if we lose to Kentucky you got to hold out, 1/1000th of hope, Tommy. You never know. But you know really what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that
I think you had too much weekend is what I'm thinking. So
no, man, it's a twofer. There's no way we beat Kentucky. Not the way we've been playing. No. It's a twofer, right? We won two games all the month of February. Everybody kept saying, wait for the next, wait for February, wait for it. He's going to go on a run.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone on a run, all right. It's been two little runs in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is there's no hope, in terms of recruiting. So, I mean, we haven't had a track record of developing any players off of our bench. And, he's probably begging for another Macon or Barford to fall in the lap from the JUCO rank. The problem is they're just not there right now. And, he had a stopgap. Without Macon or Barford, it would have been a really ugly story 2 years ago. And those things kind of worked out nice for us. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Your check's been really quiet. It could either be a good thing or a bad thing. You don't ever know.
Yeah, here's the thing too, Robbie, because you brought up some good points about, falling into the lap and trying to get the players. That's, I think, I keep harping on this point. That, to me, is also one of the things that it's just tough to really find hope in Mike Anderson right now, because there is no JUCO players coming in. They are so limited on scholarships, and Daniel Gafford's going to be gone next year. And you mentioned the guys that they have been, lack of thereof, at least development on the bench. There's nobody besides maybe Isaiah Joe, maybe, that gets you excited about the future of the guys that are currently on this team. There's no upside to any of them, really. I know Mason Jones has had some games here and there, but, I mean, there's just nobody there, and that's what the worrisome part of it comes into play is there's no help on the way. You felt like in football there was help on the way in the recruiting class at least. there's no help on the way. And in fact, as far as the talent's perspective, you're going to be a worse team talent-wise next season than you were this past year. And that's a scary thing as well.
Yeah, one of the things I talked about, you know, is that the fact that, you know, our three-point shooting the last couple of games before the debacle against A&M was, again, 25%. You can't continue to shoot 25% from the three-point line as a team and expect to have the same results. It just doesn't work. And Mason Jones, beginning of the season, you know, I kept harping, saying, hey, this dude's legit. He brings a lunch pail. I don't know what happened to him. He kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Because he'll go 0 for 7 or 8, and then all of a sudden he gets it cranked up. By that time, it's too late.
You didn't like that 1 for 10 from three-point land in the second half? You didn't like some
Tommy,
of that?
I love it, baby. I love it. You know,
1
great.
For 10. It's easy to figure the percentages when you don't even need a calculator at 1 for 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. 5 of 22 for the game, but yeah, 1 for 10 in the second half. That's not going. There's several things you could point to why you lost the game. That's as big a reason as any, right there.
Mm-hmm.
1 for 10.
We keep doing that. We keep taking over 20 attempts a game, and we're making only 25-30%. I mean, and we're not beating the beast down low. Mm-hmm. You know, and you wonder why you get yourself in a position where you're down to an inferior opponent. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not Mike Anderson. I don't get paid $3 million a year, but whatever.
Yeah. Neither does he, but he's close to it.
Yeah, so. Appreciate the phone call as always,
good call.
Robbie.
And, strong call.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that, you know, there's when you just look at some of these stats and you look at some of these issues and, you know, like Mason Jones, that's another great point that's brought up by Robbie, because I feel like there were times, especially in the beginning of the season, like Mason Jones, I mean, you guys scored 30 in a game. You thought that it was like, okay. In fact, he's done that twice. But he can't find any consistency. And listen, there's a reason why he was coming off the bench in this game. He's not playing well. I mean, you don't – I could be wrong. Stop traffic, but – you don't bench your players if they're playing good. That's not usually what happens. So, you know, that's problematic, too. And when you look at – because, listen, we all know Daniel Gafford's gone after this year. It is a foregone conclusion. He is gone after this year. What player are you excited about on this team besides – that Gafford's going to be – I mean, is it Isaiah Joe?
It's got to be Joe and Mason Jones. I mean, say what you want about Mason Jones, but he has had a couple of, 30-point games this year.
I mean, he's had the ability. It's consistency he's lacked.
Right,
but
I agree.
He has the ability.
But it's in there.
Yeah.
You need a player like him to become the player that's not 30 every other week, but, you know, 20 a night, every night.
Yeah.
Consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, but even if those two guys bring it and elevate their game next year.
Can they become
you gotta have help.
Barford and Macon together?
Right.
2.0 light.
Yeah.
Something.
But at least with Barford and Macon, though, they had Moses Kingsley and Daniel Gafford.
True.
You know, they had Dusty Hannah's.
Well,
and you know,
these guys will have Adriel Bailey.
Yeah, so, Gabe Osaboyan. My goodness. I mean, why not? So, yeah, it's just problematic, man. Let's go back to the phone lines. Robert's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. Well, I ain't going to lie. I'm kind of glad to see that Connor got brought down to earth a little bit now that we played somebody. Now we can get on to business and he can get, you know, we can get things back in perspective that he's a baseball player. You know, I just felt like they put him on a pedestal, but we played well out there this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard not to be positive about how the team played. I mean, the one game they lost, they went to extra innings, and they were, you know, obviously competitive in all three games.
Exactly. And, you know, we had hard times on the road last year, except Friday nights. Friday nights, playing night, you know, but this year, you know, I know it's just the first series, but I was glad to see what come out of it. Went out west, so I think there'll be positive things for the when we go on the road.
Now they got like a 3-week homestand. Thanks, Robert. Now they're gonna be at home for a long time into mid March before they leave. So, a lot of chance to work on your craft.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Go to the phone lines as we welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How was the weekend, man?
All right, guys. Happy Monday. It was pretty good. Getting ready to go up and cover the Hogs against Kentucky in Lexington.
All right. Well, I'm sure you enjoyed that trip. And there was a lot of things going on over the weekend, speaking of the Razorbacks, where you had basketball, baseball, you know, some softball news going on there. But we'll start with the Razorback basketball team dropping another game, 5 straight now. They've lost to an SEC play. 6 games overall they've lost at Bud Walton Arena. Texas A&M, not a great team, so it's not a great loss. They're reeling right now. I mean, what's going on with them, Tommy? Have you been able to pinpoint the problem? It's certainly wearing on Razorback fans. What do you know about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's multiple things going on, and it's just you can tell that they're a team searching for answers, and right now they're not getting any answers. Mike shook up the starting lineup, and perhaps it was okay for Desi Sills and Gabe Osaboyan, but it was not good for Mason Jones. When he came in the game, you could tell he kind of said, hey, you know, I want to make an impact. And he just kind of took a shot of his own accord, and he didn't have a good game, and he's one of your big scorers. So that's indicative when you're 27 games into the season that they're not pushing all the right buttons right now, that, you know, one of your top three scorers came off the bench and it just didn't seem to suit him. Getting the ball into Gafford right now, teams are just really collapsing on him. And in the first half, he wasn't strong with the ball. I mean, they were, you know, there's a lot of bumping going on, and he couldn't get it in the hole very well in the first half. So a lot of things, and Billy Kennedy led on to what's going on for opponents right now. They're staying glued to Isaiah Joe, and they feel like if they can collapse on Gafford and stay glued on to Isaiah Joe, make his threes tough ones, then that's the solution, and make everyone else beat them. And right now, that's not happening.
Rebounding margin, minus 10 for the Hogs. Right. It's been a problem. 35-25 of the rebounds, about even on the offensive glass. But it's extra possessions, too, that's costing the Hogs as well.
Well, there's just no question about that. I mean, that's got to be driving Mike Anderson batty, that so often, you know, teams that they're better than basically are coming in and miss a shot, grab the rebound. There was one, I think they missed two tip-ins after the initial shot, and so they're getting third and sometimes fourth chances.
Yeah.
So that is definitely one of the biggest issues facing this team. And of course, they're not getting enough scramble play going on. They're not. The press is not getting enough open court opportunities. And as somebody noted in a recent game, I think it was Bruce Pearl or Ben Howland, they were shooting so well against Arkansas, and Arkansas was missing so many shots that Arkansas couldn't run its press very much. And Mike Anderson brought up the point on Saturday, maybe some guys are hitting the wall. So, you know, there's a chance now. I mean, the Kentucky game is going to be so, so difficult tomorrow. But with Ole Miss coming in and the celebration of the 94 championship team, there's a chance to kind of, I think, get a second wind and try to finish out the last three games as well as you can. They're going to have to do something miraculous now to make it into the NCAA.
This game seemed like it was teetering right before the half. The Hogs had fell behind but then made a late run to make it a one-point game at the half. You really thought with some halftime adjustments and that rally in the closing minutes of the first half, this was going to be a different second half team. The 3-point shooting in the second half was abysmal, 1 for 10. I really thought this team was going to be better out of the gate in the second half.
Yeah, I thought they would too, but there's just something's going on, and the pieces just aren't fitting well right now, and maybe there is a fatigue factor, and they could have had a lead at halftime, but A&M came down and did a real good job. They noticed that Jalen Harris has got switched off onto Savion Flagg. And I'm not sure if someone said a back pick or what. The Flagg cut to the hole, and I'm pretty sure it was Stark. Saw him, and Harris couldn't keep up, and Flagg was open for basically a wide-open lay-in right before the final buzzer at halftime. So, you know, a lot of things happening for the Razorbacks. And Mike alluded early in the year, and we all kind of thought this might be kind of a rebuild with a young, inexperienced roster. They got our hopes up some during pre-conference and with that winning streak they had, I guess it was a four-game winning streak that included a win over LSU, but perhaps they're reverting to what we thought of them all along, a team that was going to need some polish and some seasoning.
Seeing with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, something that I know a lot of fans have been asking about and thinking about the status of Mike Anderson going into next season, I have a hard time believing, even though the rest of the season, if they lost the rest of their games, that there would be any major change. Maybe there would be, but, I mean, do you see any type of scenario playing out where Mike Anderson's not the guy next year? Because I feel like with all the setup and what he's accomplished, he's at least gets one more year. But do you see any scenario of that playing out?
I'm kind of with you. With all he's done and all that
I think it would be a little bit of a rush to judgment. You just don't want the team to fall apart. You don't want there to be, you know, some strife or, you know, incidents. And that hasn't been the MO for Mike Anderson's team, so I can't imagine a scenario where that happens. I do think representing well in the Ole Miss game next Saturday would be really nice. If they could get a win there with a lot of people in town and Nolan Richardson, Corey Beck, the guys, you know, Scotty Thurman on staff, that could assuage some sore feelings right now.
Let's talk a little baseball before we get out of here. Hogs went 2 of 3 on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series at USC. Your thoughts overall on the weekend? Obviously, they were very competitive in all three games. Even the game they lost in the finale went to extra innings.
Yeah, you know, it was a good early season road trip to, you know, you bond your team a little bit. You find out, you know, what you're made of a little under some adversity. Some different guys in the lineup, you know, are doing some things. Christian Franklin at the bottom had a huge double in game two. And Jack Kinley near the bottom of the lineup drove in 3 runs in game two. The pitching, for the most part, was pretty solid. The defense looks like it might be a continuation of the defense from last year, not near the top of the SEC so far. And it was fun to watch. I watched as much as I could on the USC feed, which was a throwback feed. Yeah. And I don't know. It was just fun.
Well, that was the thing, too, Tom, about with the USC game. You mentioned the broadcast. It's amazing, first of all, how poorly it was. But, you know, it's one of those things, too, that if you're a Razorback baseball fan and watching that game, I don't think there's anything that you take away from the series. The fact that they didn't win that last one, even though they probably should have, of saying, okay, there's any type of problems. Baseball is just one of those things that you really have to wait until conference play starts revving up to really know where this team is at. And even though USC is a quality program, I don't think there's really anything, and maybe I'm wrong about it, but I just don't think there's anything you can really take away from that series and say this is what this team is going to do or what they're not going to do this season.
Well, I think you can take away that I believe they're going to be competitive. I don't think you can project, you know, with all certainty what their SEC record might be based on that series. But, like I said, hitting in different parts of the lineup, some of their key guys like Kerstad need to get going a little bit more, but it looks to me like Trevor Ezell is going to be an on-base machine. His defense at first and just kind of putting it all together on defense is going to be a work in progress. And like I said, the pitching I thought held up fairly well. And when they took the lead on Fletcher's home run in the top of the 10th, I mean, to come away with a sweep, I mean, they would have been sitting here at 6-0, would have moved up in the polls most likely, but they couldn't hold on with the pitching in the bottom of the 10th. So what could have been, you know, they were on the brink of a really, really nice flight home, and they wind up kind of letting one slip away there. And as the weeks go by, you know, we'll see with Memphis coming into town and then Stony Brook, which won't be, I don't think, a pushover series. They're just going to be fun, and you know that they'll be competitive. And, you know, the starting pitching for this upcoming weekend will be intriguing to see what Dave Van Horn decides to do there.
And, Tom, I know we don't talk a lot about it, but, you know, Razorback softball, Daniel Gibson hits a home run cycle. I mean, something like that is pretty impressive. I don't care what level you're playing at or what league you're in. That was really nice, a nice piece of attention for the Razorback softball team got from the national media.
No question about that. And, you know, you kind of wish they had swept this home tournament they just had. But for them to come back from a loss against, I think, Drake earlier in the day, and Gibson, the first person ever to hit for the home run cycle in consecutive innings. And as Bob Holt pointed out in his story today, 3 of the home run pitches she hit were balls, a couple of them up in her eyes and one that was low and away, I believe. So kudos to her. That's a great piece of recognition for Danielle Gibson. And Courtney Diefel have just done a great job with this program. And they're well-regarded and have a chance to have a top, you know, 4 or 5 finish in the SEC this year. Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Tom. Great stuff, man. Catch up with you on Thursday, all right?
All right, now. See you.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.